the Lord was about to bless this woman as she returned. And well, in the meantime, Ruth has gone out to work in the fields. And in verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz, that's the distant relative of Naomi, said to Ruth, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. And she carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. And Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, before we turn to that, let's stand up. There, congregation, I see we have some mums with us. And that's really good. Still standing, I was going to say. Still seated at the end of the day. Because let me begin by reading the job specification for a mum. What is required? What is expected of a mum? Position: mother, mum. Job description: long-term team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills, and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses not reimbursed. Extensive courier duties also required. Responsibilities. The rest of your life must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs £5. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Also must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat, in case this time the screams from the backyard are not someone crying wolf. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges, such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets and stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendar and coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have ability to plan and organise social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Must handle assembly and product safety testing on 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end products. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance, janitorial work throughout the facility. Possibility for advancement and promotion. Virtually none. Your job is to maintain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience. None required, unfortunately. On-the-job training offered on a continually exhausting basis. Wages and compensation. Get this, you pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. And when you die, you give them whatever's left. The oddest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and wish you could do even more. Benefits, finally. While no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, no stock options are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life. Is that it, ladies? Mums? You recognise some of that? It's a little American, but I think it translates. Mums are mums. The role of a mother has hardly changed in this changing world. I did think to say perhaps mothers have more support these days, but I'm not quite sure that's true because of the way our society has fragmented and decayed and broken. But what a hard job it is to bring up a child or children. That's the role of a mother. The role of a mother-in-law. Well, that can present tension, can't it? Certainly the comedians make much of the mother-in-law. Last week we began by looking at the story of Naomi and Ruth as Naomi returned to Bethlehem with Ruth after a decade away in Moab. And we talked of that, and you know, the shock really. We read it as though it was just normal, you know. 10 years in Moab, 10 years away from where God's people should have been, marrying foreign, the sons marrying foreign wives, and all that. You remember it was a famine in Bethlehem, in the city of bread. It should have been a wake-up call to God's people to cry out to the Lord, because the Lord had promised to bless his people in the land he provided for them. And we spoke of the disobedience towards God of Naomi. And I spoke about being empty and full. And how Naomi thought she was full when she left and empty when she returned. But maybe her perspective was all wrong. And whenever you go away from the Lord, you are empty. And whenever you turn to him and come to him, whatever state you come, he fills us, we're full. When I got home afterwards, I was reflecting on what I'd said. I thought I shortchanged you, I have to say. You may think I do that quite often, I apologize. But because I didn't make as much as I should of the grace of God towards them. Because it says, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. That news that somehow got through to her, that there was now food back in Bethlehem. How gracious is God that she should hear that and have the opportunity to respond to that and to make the journey home, the journey back to Bethlehem. And I was thinking really about the task, the role we have here in making the good news of the Lord Jesus known to this community. The bread of life has come into this world. There is sustenance for the soul. His name is Jesus. And people need to hear that good news. And God uses you and me to make that news known to the young, to the old, to everyone in between. The bread of life for our provision. The bread of life who was born and came into this world in Bethlehem, of all places. They heard and they responded. How can people hear if we don't tell them? Paul says that, doesn't he? We've got to tell them. So I should have said that. I should have labored that more last week. Forgive me. But when I started to look at this, and I want to preach next week, God willing, on something else from this as well, I may even speak at Millview this week on something as well. It's taken up a lot of my thinking. I said to you, it's called Ruth. It is the story of Ruth. It is the significance of Ruth in the line of David. But it is also Naomi's story running alongside the story of Ruth. And their relationship, their coming together, is highlighted, isn't it? Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. You remember Naomi had encouraged Ruth and Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, to return to their mother's home. But that bond with Ruth grew. It grew stronger by the day through Ruth's commitment to Naomi. Remember what she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Even in the midst of the disobedience of Naomi and the family, Ruth saw something of the living God and wanted to be a part of that people. And so she commits herself to Naomi. Just another reason why Naomi didn't return empty. She came back with the blessing of Ruth in tow, connected with her. And it seems that they grew close, very close. I mean, who wouldn't grow close in such in adverse circumstances and situations? We read of Naomi's commitment to Ruth. Ruth says, "Let me go to the fields," in chapter 2, in the early verses there. "Go ahead, my daughter," is the advice, the encouragement that Naomi gives. And the more I looked at these verses I've just read to you, the more I saw that motherly connection. I know she was mother-in-law, but does that really make a difference? I love what we do in our church. I love the way that all the ladies receive, because not all are mothers, but in relationships, that motherly role can be seen. It's not about taking the kids to school and this, that, and the other. It's wider than that, that loving care. I want to bring just three things to you. I want you to see them in their setting, in this story. And then I want us to see them in our church. And more than that, I want to see where they come from, because they are in the very heart of God towards us. And that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to get this evening. In one sense, the Ruth and Naomi story, though I've made much of it to this point, is just an example that highlights qualities of motherhood. And here they are. It's three of them, just from the short reading we had. In verse 18, Naomi saw Ruth's workload. It says her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. You know, sadly, sometimes when there's tension in the family and mother-in-law doesn't quite fit with what's going on around, it's because mother-in-law is critical that it's not being enough done for my son. For some mothers-in-law, their daughters-in-law can never do enough for their son. But Naomi appreciated Ruth's efforts. She saw how much she gathered. Ruth was expressing her love for Naomi and what she was doing, and Naomi appreciated it. She saw the workload that Ruth had carried out. Just want to hold that thought. Secondly, Naomi asked of Ruth's whereabouts, verse 19. Her mother-in-law asked, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work?" It's a little point, but Naomi showed interest in Ruth's day. Her focus had been upon herself in chapter 1. Oh, call me bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. But now, she's got something positive to look upon. The work of her daughter-in-law. The love and the care that is being shown. Her focus had been on herself and her ordeal in Moab. But now she's looking forward with the help of the next generation. How important that is. And thirdly, Naomi advised Ruth about her safety. Did you pick that up in verse 22? Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." She uses her wisdom, Naomi. She uses what she's heard, perhaps, others' experience, maybe her own experience in past years. Who knows? And she makes that comment for the good of Ruth, for the safety of good. Of Ruth. She passes on her experience for the well-being and safety. She gives wise counsel and advice. Workload, whereabouts, and safety. Three little things just in the unfolding story. Ultimately, you know, they are very little things. You might miss them as you pass by. But they're there. Now, today is Mothering Sunday, and we make more of it here, rightly so. It's not just Mother's Day, it's Mothering Sunday, as for Mother Church. A celebration of motherhood, yes, but a celebration of church, home church life together, Christian family in community. And while we don't have people coming back from the big houses now, it's a different world in many respects. Still, the importance of being part of a fellowship, the support, the love, the care is vital, vitally important. As a mother, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." There's the benchmark. There's the thing we should be aiming to do. We share a message, of course, but we share much more in the sense we share ourselves one with another. And if that is the case, let us go back and ask about the workload that different ones are under. Are we aware of that? As we share together, we should acknowledge the workload done for us, with us, around us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, "Respect those who work hard among you." He writes it to a church that had misunderstood the second coming. They perhaps had more faith than many in the church do today, and they down tools, just waiting for it to come. It's imminent, so what's the point in working? Let's just get ready. I kind of like their attitude, but it was wrong. They've got to carry on working. We've got to carry on working until that day. And so Paul says, There's work to do. But in the midst of the things going on, let us respect those who work hard among you. Let us watch out for each other under the workload that each one is under. Now, it's not, we're all different, aren't we? Different people do different work. And some people, they work and work and work and work, and others aren't able to do it that way, in the same way. But as we get to know each other, we're to support each other, to encourage each other on in the work. Acknowledge the workload. It's not just for me and David, though obviously we have a major part in what goes on. It's all of us, not just the deacons, it's all of us. As part of this church, Mother Church. And as we share together, let us show interest in each other's whereabouts, where we are, where we're at in our faith, how things are going in our daily lives. Remember God's question for Cain in Genesis 4. Where's your brother? Cain's response, am I my brother's keeper? What is the answer to that question, church? We are. We have a responsibility to each other. There may be little community left outside of this place, but within it, the whereabouts of one another should cause us concern. People are not with us. Where are they? What's going on? The workload, the whereabouts. Because if people are not with us, we must fear for their safety. From our own experience, we can share advice to help one another in regard to safety. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, says the writer to the Hebrews. Skipping meals is not advisable. Might help you lose weight in the short term, but it will make you ill ultimately. Spiritually, it's the same principle. We need to feed upon God's word. We need fellowship one with another. Appreciate this evening, I'm probably speaking to the wrong people because you're here. But are we watching for others? Are we seeking to keep them safe spiritually in what's going on? Is there anybody going under because of the workload? Perhaps it's a secular workload they're under. Are we watching out for this? We are the body of Christ. The Lord is the head, of course. We are to express his will, and we are to express his care. So as Mother Church, these things that we saw with Naomi and Ruth, we can look for amongst ourselves. But we're not just some social club with a spiritual element. We have a God who has given us mothers, who has blessed us as a church with motherhood gifts because of his heart, because of who he is. Isaiah 66, verse 13. The lovely verse to reflect upon today. As a mother comforts her child, the Lord said, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. As a mother, Naomi did what she did for Ruth. As a mother, you and I, together in this place, as a mother, a loving Heavenly Father, I know that's mixing the two, but those motherly qualities, that's where they originate from. You see, the Lord sees the load that we carry. He sees the workload of his children. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He gives us that comfort. He gives us that rest that we might then, yoked with him, go on from strength to strength in the work he has for us to do. And what of our whereabouts? The Lord knows our whereabouts, doesn't he? You know when I sit and when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways, says Psalm 139. The Lord, as we heard this morning, well, the mothers know and the Lord knows. But the Lord wants to listen to your day, to my day, for us to turn to him and express what has gone on. We can call upon him anytime, any place, anywhere. And it's not just an answer machine to leave a message. He says, I will answer you when you call on me. I'll give you great and unsearchable things. I'll tell you these things you do not know. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you advice. I'll give you help. Just as Ruth was getting advice from Naomi, stay with Boaz. Said, stay safe in this field. So the Lord keeps his children safe. As we pour out our hearts to him about the day, the trials, the troubles. But we then must listen. Listen to that which he says to us. To calm our hearts. To steady our nerve. And to take us on in his direction. For the Lord keeps his children safe. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That's his aim, that's his goal, that is what he will achieve. Through the wise instruction of the word, he keeps us safe. And so it's a long way from those fields gleaning in the barley fields to the church in the 21st century, to the throne room of heaven itself, where we can call upon the Lord and receive his wisdom in what we do. But mothers amongst us here this evening, I'm sure the bottom line for you was that you wanted the best for your children. Surely no mother would ever put their hand up and say, no, I didn't want the best, I wanted the worst. We may look back and say, well, perhaps I could have done it differently. But mothers want the best for their children. Mothers are there in the good times and in the pain. How much more so the Lord, in the way he comforts us as a mother comforts a child. The Lord doesn't always do things the way we would expect. Sometimes he doesn't do things the way we would want. Let's be honest. I want to finish with a poem. It's actually written by Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, about a few mothers in the Bible and the Lord's overarching care and wisdom in each case. And it's a beautiful poem because it does highlight what a mother would want and yet reminds us how the Lord worked and brought about his purposes. I think it's called Had I Been Joseph's Mother, because that's the first line of the first verse, but it talks of other mother situations too. But it starts in the Old Testament there with Joseph. Had I been Joseph's mother, I'd have prayed protection from his brothers. God keep him safe. He's so young, so different from the others. Mercifully, she never knew there would be slavery and prison too. Had I been Moses' mother, I'd have wept to keep my little son, praying she might forget the babe drawn from the water of the Nile. Had I not kept him for her, nursing him the while, was he not mine and she but Pharaoh's daughter? Had I been Daniel's mother, I would have pled, give victory, this Babylonian horde, godless and cruel. Don't let him be a captive, better dead, almighty Lord. Had I been Mary, oh, had I been she, I would have cried as never mother cried. Anything, O God, anything but crucified. With such prayers importunate, my finite wisdom would assail. Infinite wisdom, God, how fortunate, infinite wisdom should prevail. Let's take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for a mother's love. A mother's love in our earthly mothers, a mother's love in church, but thank you most of all for your love that comforts our hearts and helps us. You know best. You want best for your children, for your church. And we take comfort in that thought. We thank you for your care, for the way that you work things out according to your plans and purposes. And even in that poem, as we think of those biblical scenarios, again and again, perhaps a mother would want it differently, but you did it your way to fulfill your purposes. So care, Lord, we pray, for each one here. Do it your way. Bring out the best. Get rid of the worst in us, that we might glorify and honour your name. We thank you, Lord, for this day, the significance of it, and for your word, the encouragement it brings to our hearts. Seal that word in our hearts, that even in the year to come, perhaps when we're up or down, high or low, we might reflect again upon your amazing love and comfort, and the way that you work things for good for those who love you, called according to your purpose. Bless, Lord, each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, you know all about us. You know the workload before us this week. You know our whereabouts. And Lord, you watch over us, and we bless you for that. Guard us. Keep us safe, keep us close to yourself. Keep us one in fellowship, even as we have our annual meeting this week. Oh Lord, may that be a blessed time, a special time. A time where we are united in your purpose going forward in this place. Bless, Lord, we pray, each one who stands before you. Again, we thank you for our earthly mothers. Again, we thank you for those who have helped us in the faith, those who continue to do so by their prayers, by their actions, by their words of encouragement. And thank you too, that we can watch over one another. We pray for those unable to be with us. Pray for those tonight who perhaps could have been with us but are not. Oh Lord, we do not condemn. Be gracious, help them. Help them to see their need of fellowship with one another. Not just to receive, but what they can give as well and share with others. Hear our prayers and our cries to you. We thank you for the blessings of this day. Take us on now to know fellowship together and then to our homes, where we might know rest and peace, where we might know your presence. And as we've sung, the blessing of that presence with us in everything. We bless you, Lord, for the day. May your grace, which is truly remarkable, truly sufficient for all things, be our portion now and always. Amen.